Morning, everybody. In our Bible study this morning, we stumbled across a conversation about praying and about praying for direction, sort of on the spot, and about how sometimes there are things that God is neutral about and the decisions are entirely ours, and if we choose A or B, it doesn't matter to Him. And there are other places where we clearly need to seek His counsel and often don't. I know I often don't, even though I should. And there are other ways in which sometimes His leading comes unexpectedly. And He sort of said, we haven't even asked, and He says, go there. And we need to be attentive and responsive to those times. And I said, well, sometimes this happens when I preach. I will have prepared a sermon, and I come in and I kneel down to pray before I preach, and basically God changes the sermon, says, you're not preaching about that, you're preaching about this. And Phil says, that sounds really dangerous. Well, He did that today, and it started with a comment that Chris made when I was telling a story during the Bible study, and she said, sounds like a sermon coming up there. And I said, yeah, it probably will be part of a sermon someday. And then as we praised and as we prayed, it became clear that this really was the sermon for today and not what I had prepared. So it begins here. And I don't know whose Bible is this. It's a little King James. It's yours? Oh, you went and got it. Oh, thank you. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to open to the second chapter of Galatians. If you don't have one with you, there might be a pew Bible in front of you. And if not that, well, I'm going to read it out loud, so you'll hear it anyway. And I want you to look at verse 16 of Galatians 2. I'm going to read there and then a little bit further down and then talk about what's going on here. Galatians 2:16. And I'm reading from the King James on purpose here, and I'll explain that in a minute. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then down in verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Everybody got that? Now, who's got a King James with them today? Anybody? All right. Then I want to know whether what I read sounds like what you read. It's a little bit different. And where is it different? The word in versus of. Let me read that again. Knowing that a man, this is verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, what's the next word? The next word is of in the Greek. The faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Down to verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life by which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I hope you've got goosebumps, because what is being said here is extraordinary, and we've missed it, often missed it. There is something which Jesus Christ has done for us, which we are incapable of doing for ourselves. And that is our justification, our being made right in the sight of God, our being freed from sin. We didn't do this by obeying the law. We couldn't do this by obeying the law. We could not be justified for it. In fact, Paul concludes at the end of chapter 2, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If it's me justifying myself by the law, in whatever guise that comes, and I promise for Christians, it comes in a million different guises. If I believe that I am justified by my obedience to the law, Jesus died for nothing. For nothing. But it was his faithfulness. And that's what it means when it says the faith of Christ. It means both his faith in the Father and his faithfulness to us. It is by that that we are justified and redeemed. This isn't sort of good news. This is terrific news. This is really important stuff. Now, I want to tell you a story. Was anybody not here during the tremendous storm that we had a week or so ago? The storm was one of the most vicious in history and intense and unending. It just persisted. And if you were here, the rain came down in torrent after torrent after torrent. The sky was constantly lit with lightning. I mean, it just rained and rained and rained. When it was all over, the sump pumps in our house ran for 2 days to carry away the water that was soaked into the ground around them. In the middle of this storm, our oldest son, George, was at school at Benedictine University, which is on a really clear day with no traffic at all, 20 minutes to a half an hour away. That's all right. But in a storm like this, and with bad traffic, is always going to be much farther. It's many miles from our house. And when he got out of class, the storm was in full force. And he began driving home. And he called and said, I'm on my way home. The storm is terrible. What should I do? And we just said, you know, just try to make your way home. And he came up Napier Boulevard, and it was flooded and blocked, and there were police cars there, so he couldn't come home in his normal route. And he called again and said, my route is blocked. Route, route, either, potato, potato. I can't get home. My route is blocked. What do I do? And I said, just work your way slowly. Try to find streets that are open, and just work your way generally in our direction, see if you can get through. A little bit later, he called again, and he was in the parking lot at College of DuPage, which is just a quarter of the way home, maybe. And he said, I'm in the middle of this parking lot. I'm frightened. It's storming really horribly. There's lightning everywhere, and all of the roads are blocked. Everything is flooded. I can't get anywhere. What do I do? And I said, stay put. I'm coming. And I did what every father's heart who is a genuine father's heart would do. And that is, you go to rescue your kid when he's in trouble. Doesn't matter if he's 3 or 30, 2.5 or 25, you go. And I got in my car, which is a four-wheel drive and has a navigation system in it, which I turned on just to show me where I was, and I drove through the lightning and the storm to get to him. virtually every road that I hit was blocked by the same police cars and floods that were blocking him from the other side. And there were cars stalled in the middle of all of these flood areas, you know, just stopped. And people unable to get through. And I watched my navigation system and went through all sorts of little odd side streets that I'd never been on in my life, but I had a picture of it, and it showed me right where I was and right where the streets were as I made my turns. And I would continue to run into floods that I couldn't get through and back up and go another direction. It took me an hour, but I finally made it to the parking lot of College of DuPage using my navigation system and my four-wheel drive. And I pulled up next to his car. You saw amazing relief on his face. And he said, "Now what?" And I said, "Follow me." And so he rolled up his window, and we made our way back out. We didn't even reverse the route. We took a different route. And again, using the navigation system, went through very difficult areas, through many places where people were flooded and stalled. We even went through one where I went through first, through floodwaters, and then he was able to follow and not lose engine power. He was able to see how deep it was because I was going first. And then we eventually made it all the way back home. That's what God does. I don't know how else to put it. It was almost, I had a kind of omniscience because I had a satellite showing me where to go, right? I mean, that's what the navigation system does. And it showed me pathways that were open that he would never find and allowed me to make my way in an enormous storm. In fact, when we were in the parking lot at College of DuPage and I looked at the lightning, there were not only were there bolts of lightning all over the sky, there were explosions going on in the distance and huge plumes of pink fire rising into the sky. It's, to this day, I don't know what that was, substations blowing up or something. I mean, it was really an extraordinary thing. And without question, and every father with a father's heart will tell you this, if I had to die to get him free, I would have died. I wouldn't have been happy about it, but I was willing, and I'm willing to this minute. Because he's my son and I love him. Look at this song that we sang, "Blessed Be Your Name." We're often so happy to be Christians when there are streams of abundance flowing. But look at this one. "Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in," that's the storm. And the impassibility of the roads that are ahead, and there's nothing that you can see when you're sitting in that car trapped in the middle of the parking lot. There is no way out that you can see. Everything is flooded. There is no route out. That's what prayer is about. That's when you say, "All right, Lord, I'm stuck. I don't have a clue how to get out of this mess that I'm in." Self-caused, maybe caused by others, happens both ways. But I'm in a rotten mess right now. I can see no way out. Come, Lord Jesus. And I don't want to put myself in his place, but the parallel is an important one. Because he comes knowing the way in to where you are, knowing the way into your heart, the way into my heart, and he knows the way out. Because he's got a perspective above ours. And he desires to come and rescue us a trillion, trillion, trillion times more than I desired to go and rescue my son. And further, when Scripture says that we are intended to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be made complete, the idea is just that. That just as he rescues me, I rescue my son. I rescue brothers and sisters. They rescue me. That's the model that God gives us about how we are to take care of each other and to give of ourselves for each other. So we got back home and we're safe. And everybody gives a sigh of relief and we're back in the house and the storm continues. But the power never fails where we are that night. The power is just on. It's just the lights stay on and the lights stay on. And eventually we pack up and go to bed and are in bed sleeping. And 3:30 in the morning, the phone rings. I don't know about you, but my adrenaline always jumps when the phone rings at 3:30 in the morning. And I got up and looked at the phone. It's got a caller ID and it said cellular call. Answered the phone, and it was the neighbors across the street. The power on their whole side of the block was out. They had a sump pump, but there was no power for the sump pump. They had a backup sump pump with a battery, but it was in the garage, not yet installed. And they had an emergency generator, which wouldn't start. And so their basement was flooding. And at last resort, they called across the street and said, "Can we have some power from your house?" And we said, "Yes, you may." And I came down and met them, and we got a big, long extension cord and ran it over to their house and hooked it up to the sump pump, which then began pumping. It took it 16 hours to empty the basement, and they lost everything that was in the basement as a result. And they were just effusively thankful. And I just kept saying, this is what neighbors do. This is what neighbors do. This is what neighbors do. And then the following day, I was talking to the man that lives across the street. And he said, all the power was out on our side. And he said, and all the lights on the street were out except at your house. And there was a light on at your house. And so I knew where to go. Does this make any connections for anybody? And so they came across to where they saw the light. Now, I have to tell you that our relations with these neighbors had been a little cool. I don't know why, but they had. Not anymore is exactly right. Not anymore is exactly right. And they came across the street to where they saw the light, and that is where they got the power. And that power didn't instantly empty the basement, but it worked. That's called sanctification. And it emptied the basement out. And then all of those things in the basement of our lives, which were ruined, they threw away because they weren't any good anymore. And they weren't a part of this redeemed, emptied, pumped out, power-filled basement. Yesterday, the wife came over with a box for us to thank us. And we sort of grinned when we opened it up. He's grinning back there right now. Because there were two things in it. One was a little ceramic backwards relief of Jesus with a light bulb in it. And I thought, this is kitschy, sort of. K-I-T-S-C-H, you know that word? I went downstairs it was gratitude being expressed, and it's the heart of it that you respond to first. And so I plugged it and set it on the shelf, and there's this little inverted relief of the face of Jesus, like you pressed it into a mold, and then you had the mold like that, and a little light bulb sort of hidden inside so it lights up the relief. I thought, well, okay, plugged it in, and I left the room. My wife had opened up the card, and in it was a gift card to a restaurant for a significant amount of money. And what I saw in that gift was the gratitude of one rescued, having seen the light and gotten the power. This is the Christian life, folks. This is what it's about. Not just in analogy, but in true, true living. And then a little while later, I walked back downstairs across the room to my desk and looked over at this gift that had been given to us. And it was the face of Christ lit up. And because of the way it's reversed, the face follows you. when you walk through the room. It's always looking right at you, no matter what you do. You walk anywhere. Still looking right at you. Oops. Kitschy or not, they got it. Right? I mean, they got the point. They understood everything that had happened and responded in a way which not only showed their gratitude, which is why, by the way, we desire to be conformed to the image of Christ, not because it's another guise in which we're trying to be obedient to the law and therefore justify ourselves. That's not why we are obedient. That's not why we respond to God's counsel. That's not why we do the things that He wants us to do. We're not doing them so that He'll look and say, well, okay, you're good enough, you can come in. He already did that. He already said, you're good enough, you can come in, because I'm saying you're good enough. I'm sacrificing for you. Instead of us having a king who demands that we die for him, we have a king who dies for us. Instead of having a king who demands that we travel a long way to come and bow before him, we have a king who will go and rescue us from the parking lot at the College of DuPage in the biggest storm in our life. That's our king. And that is the model that he gives to each and every one of us, of not just how we are to treat our children, how we're to treat brothers and sisters in Christ, how we're to treat neighbors whose faith we know nothing of, who are in need, and who I hope in our eyes and in our life, in our way of acting, see the light on. And when they come seeking the light, we share that light. It isn't an it, it's a who, and it's Jesus Christ. That's not the just sort of good news. That's the terrific news. We have a king who loves us so much, he will come anywhere that we are, in any circumstances, to find us and to lead us out. And even though the leading out is difficult and sometimes scary and sometimes enormously difficult and frightening, and I don't know what's going to happen when I go there, but as long as I stay right behind the one leading me out, I will get home. And he's the king who always leaves the light on. And that light is in us, in each and every one of our hearts. And he desires only that we live lives so that people see that light, that they hear that testimony from our lips, that we behave in such a way that people are rescued and blessed and loved. Not all of that so that we can buy our way into heaven. That price has been paid. But in grateful response, like the gift of the neighbors across the street. We demanded nothing of them, but the gratitude for being rescued, the gratitude for the water being emptied out, the gratitude for the power, the gratitude for a light in the middle of the night, in the darkness, the gratitude for an answered phone call. And in fact, he said, I know that we could have called many of the neighbors, and they wouldn't have even have answered the phone, but we knew you would answer the phone. That's what Jesus does for us. It's what he desires that we be like as lovers and followers of him. I pray this in his name. Amen.